You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Imelani Case is Kanaka Māori from Hawaii, currently lecturing in the Department of Pacific Studies at Victoria University of Wellington. Imelani is part of a Cancel RIMPAC Aotearoa coalition made up of peace advocates and human rights justice seekers. They are concerned for the welfare of those in Hawaii due to the Rim of the Pacific International Maritime War exercise that takes place every 2 years in Hawaii. It is understood that New Zealand will be taking part in the exercise this year, as they have before, and will be sending around 300 troops. The coalition has written an open letter to the Prime Minister of Aotearoa requesting the country withdraw from the exercise and not participate. I spoke to Imelani to find out more and started by asking her to explain more about what RIMPAC is.
So basically, you know, maritime war exercise, I don't think really gives anyone an accurate picture of what RIMPAC is. I call them war games because that's basically what they are. So RIMPAC is hosted by the United States Department of Defense and the Indo-Pacific Command, and it's international. So every 2 years, you know, representations or delegations from different countries around the world will come to Hawaii. So the last RIMPAC was held in 2018, and the next one is scheduled to be held this year. So to give you kind of an idea of how massive it is, in 2018, there were 26 participating nations, and together those nations brought to my homeland in Hawaii, they brought over 200 aircraft, 46 ships, and each of those ships can hold thousands of personnel and sailors. They brought five submarines and 25,000 military personnel. And all of these things, all of these ships and aircraft and personnel converged in Hawaii's waters and on Hawaiian lands. And basically what they do is they simulate war exercises. They play war games. They blow things up. They have live fire training on land. It's hugely destructive. There are many of us that protest RIMPAC every single year. Right now, I'm also part of a new Cancel RIMPAC coalition based in Hawaii. So, you know, we're staunchly against RIMPAC every single year. But this year, in the middle of a global pandemic, it just seems ridiculous that this would be happening. And I should note that New Zealand is one of the participating nations in RIMPAC and has been participating for the last few RIMPACs.
I want to go more into COVID, but firstly, though, what is the point of the military exercises? Why does this happen?
You know, the way that it's framed, and this comes both from the U.S. Navy and also from representatives here, like Ron Mark, for example, the Minister of Defense, has talked about it as being critical for preparation, for being prepared. I don't know what they're trying to be prepared for right now in the middle of a global pandemic, but I guess it's, you know, being prepared for any kind of military procedure on land or on water. It's also the way that the U.S. Department of Defense frames it is it's an opportunity to build partnerships between nations. It's about building capacity. But yeah,
So would it go again? I mean, the UN, and it's in the open letter, the UN has called for a ceasefire, global ceasefire. Okay. You know, would this come under something that should, you know, pause or be postponed in that ceasefire?
Personally, yeah. I mean, I think there are many who think that this would be breaking that ceasefire. And they might be thinking, well, it's not actual war and like we're not actually killing people. It's just war games. But in all of these conversations, the people who aren't being talked about are the people in Hawaii who have to suffer the impacts of RIMPAC. We're never part of it. And actually, we've never received a response from the Prime Minister or from Ron Mark. Ron Mark, however, has sent a response to one of the members of our Cancel RIMPAC Aotearoa group. And he responded to a personal letter that she had sent in. And he, in his letter, never mentioned the people in Hawaii. He stands behind RIMPAC as an exercise, feels that it is essential for the New Zealand Defense Force so that they can be prepared. And perhaps one of the most horrific things in his response is that he uses humanitarian aid as a justification for militarism and for RIMPAC. In fact, he says in his letter that the New Zealand Defence Force has to be prepared for things like administering aid to countries or to nations in places like Vanuatu and Fiji, who suffered the recent hit from Cyclone Harold. So in a way, he's not only framing Pacific Islands as constantly in need and constantly on the receiving end of aid, which, you know, is just destructive and detrimental to begin with. But then he also tries to say we need things like RIMPAC, war games, to be able to administer aid, all the while causing disaster and destruction in someone else's homeland. So never once does he acknowledge the fact that this is going to Hawaii and bringing danger and a threat to my island and my people there. So his letter I found really offensive as a Hawaiian woman, the complete disregard of us as people, and then the use of our fellow, you know, of our Pacific whānau as just being aid receivers, and using all of that to try to justify these war games, I found, to be honest, quite sickening. But with all of that said, no, they're not at all acknowledging the UN's call to ceasefire, and I think it's because it's they're war games, not technically war.
Right, and I suppose while we're sort of talking about that presence, Hawaii has had, I mean, there's been a long history of US military presence in Hawaii. So could you talk us through that sort of geopolitical issue there?
Yeah, so, you know, just kind of a brief history. I don't technically refer to Hawaii as being a part of the United States. We were taken over illegally, and we've been under prolonged military occupation. So when people call me American, I'm like, oh, please, you know, please don't, because my islands were illegally taken over and we're still under occupation. And that speaks to the very, very long history of militarism in Hawaii. Our islands were taken over for their strategic importance in the middle of the Pacific. And our islands are heavily militarized. A third of the island of Oʻahu, so there are eight major islands in Hawaii, and one of our islands, Oʻahu, a third of it is controlled and operated by the U.S. military. Another one of our islands, Kahoʻolawe, was used as a bombing target for decades. And finally, we were able to get, you know, to stop the bombing there. But people can't live on that island now because of all of the unexploded ordnance and because of the destruction of the U.S. military. And the United States is notorious for really disregarding the lives of islanders, not only in Hawaii, but in other parts of the Pacific. Guam, for example, or Guam, a third of that island is owned, and I mean, not owned, but is controlled and has been taken over by the U.S. military. And then other islands in parts of Micronesia as well have been used for nuclear training sites. So militarism in the Pacific is huge, and it's a huge issue. And part of the reason why many people don't know about it is, one, because of the dominant ways that Hawaii has been framed. We've been framed as this tropical paradise and this vacation, you know, destination that everyone goes to. So when people think of Hawaii, they think palm trees and beaches, and they don't think bombs and live fire training. And that goes for other islands in the Pacific as well, like Guam. People think Pacific island, they think insular island, far away, isolated. They don't think destruction and death, basically, at the hands of the U.S. We're caught up in this really horrible history of militarism, and it returns to our islands. I mean, militarism and military training facilities are on Hawaii, on our islands, and they're horrible. But this huge reminder, this international reminder of that, comes back every 2 years. And that's RIMPAC. So
let's move to COVID-19 now, I suppose, this being possibly the key issue, particularly for this year's RIMPAC. What is your concern for Hawaii and people on the islands that may be now exposed to thousands of other people from different countries?
You know, initially, we and when I say we, I'm talking about just different individuals and also our Cancel RIMPAC coalition in Hawaii, and people who've been fighting against RIMPAC for years. Our initial concern, of course, was for the well-being of our people, knowing that when military personnel come to Hawaii for RIMPAC, they're given like what they call Liberty Days, where they're able to go out and they're able to go to, you know, shopping and go to restaurants and do the tourist thing. So they're able to be out in the community. So, of course, there was the concern about having perhaps around 25,000 extra people on the island of Oahu. And some of them do go to other islands like the Big Island where I'm from, the Big Island of Hawaii, where there are major training facilities there. So just that impact on communities with personnel was a major concern. Also, we have seen in the past that sex trafficking and prostitution rates do go up during RIMPAC time as well. So that, of course, is always a concern, but becomes even more urgent in the time of COVID-19. And so we've been putting pressure on politicians and have been, you know, like the open letter here was just one example of that, trying to put pressure not only on politicians in Hawaii and in the United States, but here internationally as well. And so the latest announcement from the U.S. Navy is that RIMPAC will be postponed. It was supposed to begin in late June and end in August. Now it's being postponed and pushed back to mid-August, which really isn't, which really doesn't make me feel any better. And they've also said that they've adjusted it so that it'll be an at-sea only exercise. With that said, we have heard from people saying that even if you call it an at-sea only exercise, that some of those military officials still need to come to land. So you're still talking about a few hundred, perhaps, who still have to come to land and converge there in order to in order for RIMPAC to operate. The other concern as well is that, I mean, if we're not just concerned about our health and safety in Hawaii, or I should say the health and safety of my whānau in Hawaii, since I'm based here in Aotearoa. But we're also concerned about the health and safety of the people on those ships. There have been so many examples lately that of ships kind of becoming these incubators of disease. The USS Theodore Roosevelt, for example, was allowed to dock on Guam back at the end of March with confirmed cases of COVID-19. At the time, there were about 100 confirmed cases. That went up to about, I think the last I saw, there were over 840 confirmed cases just from that one ship. So if you put all of these people in close quarters and have these on, you know, at sea exercises, that's going to just create disaster, I think, for the military personnel. And then they all then go back to their communities and their countries. And I just think it's just one, irresponsible, and two, it's just putting people at risk unnecessarily. So we are, of course, worried about our people, even if it does become an at-sea only event, because technically there will still be people coming on land. But also, very importantly, you know, from our perspective, our whānau, like, I think COVID-19 is it. And when we talk about bubbles and locking down and isolating in our bubbles, you know, when Jacinda Ardern talks about that and when other people talk about that, I think they're largely looking at a nuclear family, you know, the parents and two parents and a couple of kids. But in our families, in our indigenous families, those families are so much bigger and they include the natural environment. So saying that you're going to have RIMPAC on the open ocean, I'm also thinking about Kanaloa. I'm also thinking about Tangaroa. I'm thinking about the ocean itself and all of that destruction. And how do I, as an indigenous person, you know, protect my ohana, protect my whānau that exists in the ocean? I mean, I think there's just multiple levels of how, you know, what this could mean and how it could impact not only us as human beings, but our relatives, both human and non-human.
What is your main message to the New Zealand government then?
You know, my main message to the New Zealand government would be, think about everyone. Think about everyone. Think about our lives, the lives of the people that soldiers and military personnel from New Zealand could impact. I think New Zealand's done an amazing job of putting New Zealand first, putting the health and safety of New Zealanders first. I think that's been seen in the response to COVID-19. My concern, though, is that I don't see how you can do that, how you can talk about genuine health and safety and security while at the same time being okay with putting other people's lives at risk. Sending a contingent or a delegation from New Zealand to RIMPAC 2020 will put other people's lives at risk. And so I urge the New Zealand government to think about the messages that they're sending, And basically, the message that I got from Ron Mark's letter that he sent to a friend of mine was, some lives are worth more than others. And as a Native Hawaiian woman who's thinking about my family at home, and my family and my people didn't even come up in his letter, it's very obvious to me that our lives don't mean as much as the ones that he's claiming to want to protect and help. So it's about, I think COVID-19 provides us not only with an opportunity, but a responsibility to really think about our humanity, and how we have to acknowledge every single person on the planet as being equal. This is the chance. This is the time to do that. I think New Zealand has an opportunity right now to be a true global partner. And I don't mean a global partner that is building partnerships with bombs and guns and war games. I mean a global partner that is acting upon the values of peace and genuine safety and security for all.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.